John chapter 10, and I want to again read the verses that were read in your hearing. John chapter 10, beginning at verse number 19. The Bible said, "There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, 'He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?' And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, 'How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them and said, 'I told you, you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.'" I want to use as a topic looking at verse number 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, 'How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.'" I want to use as a topic for the lesson this morning, God in defense of himself. God in defense of himself. Jesus, in one of the many times in which he was called into question for his works, for his ministry, and even for his identity, was asked in verse number 24, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." This question or challenge had been brought on by some declarations that we find earlier in this same chapter that Jesus made in the previous verses. If you look back up to verse number 7, you'll notice that he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." In other words, Jesus is saying that I am the true means of access to the true children of God. Then he goes on to say in verse number 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Then he says in verse number 14, he says, "I am what? The good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Jesus states, "I'm the good shepherd." And as Jesus makes this declaration, he hearkens a theme that appears throughout the Old Testament: the fact of God being the true shepherd of Israel. When we look back in the Old Testament, we can look back at the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 23 and verse number 1. We all know that. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." We find it in Psalms chapter 79 and verse number 13, where it says, "We, thy people, are the sheep of thy pasture." The psalmist states it again in Psalms chapter 80 and verse number 1. "Give, O ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph a flock." And we find it as well in Ezekiel chapter 34, where the entire chapter here in Ezekiel chapter 34 deals with the fact that God is the true shepherd of Israel and false leaders are the evil shepherds. And so when we come down to this point that Jesus says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. With all of these examples that we find in Psalms of the shepherd of Israel, that being God himself, and with all these examples of God being given, and Jesus now comes on the scene and says, I am the good shepherd. What does it mean, or what is he saying in the backdrop of all these examples of God being the shepherd of Israel and him saying, I am the good shepherd? Jesus is simply saying, I am God. I'm God. This brings us back to John chapter 10 and verse number 24, where again, they asked him the question. He said, now, if you be the Christ, just tell us plainly. On the surface, it sounds like a reasonable question. It sounds like a fair question. But the Pharisees were not attempting to understand who he was. They were trying to get him to use a word that they could use to entrap him. They wanted to charge him with sedition or heresy. They understood when he said, I am the good shepherd. They understood he was saying, I am God. Because that's why they wanted to destroy him. But as he makes the statement, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, Jesus is making a statement that he chose to make at this particular time, and at the time of his choosing, he was going to declare that he is the Christ. He'll later do that in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 62. But now his response is that I told you who I am. I said I'm the door. I said I'm the good shepherd. But you did not believe me because you're not my sheep. Look at what he says in verse number 26. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. You're sheep, but you're not my sheep. You know, it's no accident that God refers to us as sheep. It's no accident that we're referred to throughout the scriptures as sheep. You see, there's some characteristics of sheep that we need to understand. You see, first of all, sheep are not very smart. You know, it's something when you look at the world and you look at man's wisdom and man's knowledge and how man will pump himself up against God and man and all of his intelligence and man and all of his knowledge and man and all of his know-how has the ability to say that I know what I know and I know that there is no God, or I know that I have the power to do what I have to do without the power and influence of God. Man is a foolish being. And you see, a sheep is a very dumb animal. You know another characteristic of sheep? Sheep have no sense of direction. As we live this life, we need direction. We need help. Every week, we read from Isaiah chapter 53. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. That's the nature of a sheep. I'm told if you take a sheep and take him just a short distance away from the rest of his flock, he can't find his way home. That's the nature of a sheep. You know another thing about sheep? Sheep cannot defend themselves. How many of you have an attack sheep in your backyard right now? I never heard of a sheep attacking anybody. And that's funny, but really when you look at us as sheep, we are defenseless in this world that we live in. Without the word of God, without the direction, without the guidance, without the help that comes from the providence of God, we are as defenseless as a sheep. When I think about this, as we have the kind of relationship that God has told us to have and challenges us to have within us. There are blessings that come from being in a relationship with God. When I am his sheep and he is my shepherd, then I can hear the shepherd's voice. Paul would say in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the blessings that I have as a sheep and God being my shepherd is that the heart of Christ causes me to know Christ. And one of the blessings that I have is spiritual knowledge. In this world that is so full of darkness and so full of ignorance and so full of misdirection and so full of misinformation, we need some spiritual knowledge to sort out this world. One of the blessings of having the heart of Christ is spiritual knowledge. And to those that have this, you know Christ. His mind is in them. His name is upon them. His service engages them. His joy sustains them. His love forgives them. His spirit guides them. That's one of the blessings of having spiritual knowledge. Paul said, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Every day, I don't want to know God. I don't want to know Jesus, know what he's done for me, know all that he has planned for me, because that spiritual knowledge is something that's going to aid me and help me in my relationship and my walk with God. Not only do I have spiritual knowledge, but I also have, I'm going to be one that is exposed to spiritual light. One of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ is that we have the blessing of light. As followers of Christ, we have the blessing of life. We're in the book of John. Turn back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and looking at verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. The Bible said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what? In darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. I'm here to tell you, in a cold and dark world, church, we need to always be exposed to light. Amen. And as followers of Christ, we have access to light. And that word light here, it speaks of a light that is in, that cannot be overcome. It's a permanent light. It's a light that lights beyond everything else in this world. And as followers of Christ, we have access to the light. When I think about the light of God, light talks about the favor of God. Light talks about the nature of God. Light talks about the impartiality of God. Light talks about the judgments and commandments of God. Light also even talks about the light of the gospel. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and looking at verse number 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, folk that are lost, they don't have exposure to light. Amen. It be hid to those that are lost. The Bible said in verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in darkness, you can't see where you're going. There are lots of things that are happening right now in our country. Laws that are being made. Mores that are changing. Attitudes that are being developed. And they're being developed within the context and the backdrop of people that are without light. The understanding is dark. professing themselves to be wise, they are fools. We've got to be individuals that are subject to the light of God. Look what it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded, God, little g, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the light. Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Let me hear you. Church, when we come here and we read the word of God, and we study the word of God, and we sing praises to God, we are striving to emulate and to bring up light. And you see, sometimes a thing that happens in our lives, in order for us to see it more clearly, we're going to have to put some light on it. See, sometimes in this world, we get discouraged and we get overcome with some of the world's challenges, and we get overcome with some of the things that we have to go through this world, but we have to put some light on it. When I have times in my life when I feel like I'm overcome with challenges and overcome with life and overcome with setbacks, when I put some light on it, what do you mean, Brother Worthy? Put some light on it. Put some scripture on it. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, when it comes to this world and the challenges of this world and the changes of this world and the setbacks of this world, John simply said it this way, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then it goes on to say in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of this world. Some of the things that we put our trust in, some of the things that we put our hopes in, some of the things that we strive for, it's not of God, but it's of this world. Then he said, here's the key right here in verse number 17. It said, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, in other words, the one that abides in light, is going to abide forever. Sometimes we might even be challenged by this body. This body one day has a potential of getting sick or getting lame or having disease or having some other problems or some calamities, but I got to put some light on it. Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, if this earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building. The Bible said a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When we live our lives in Christ, we got to be willing to live in accordance to spiritual light. Not only do we have access to the spiritual light of God, but we are exposed. As we are exposed to the spiritual light of God, we now have the obligation to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 and verse through verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We not only are exposed to the light, we must walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, we also have the commandment to be light. Don't you remember the words of Jesus over in Matthew chapter 5 and looking at verse number 14 through verse number 16? The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. It goes on to say what? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Then he goes on to say, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then he says, do what? He said, let your light. I don't have to worry about anybody else's light. Let your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. First, I got to be exposed to the light. The light is Christ Jesus. Then I got to walk in the light. And as I walk in the light, I become a light. It is a blessing as a disciple of Christ to be exposed to light, walk in light, be a light. That's a blessing. We must be that kind of light. So not only do we look at the spiritual blessing that comes from having spiritual knowledge, not only do we look at the spiritual blessing that comes from being a spiritual light, but we also have a blessing of heavenly honor. Heavenly honor. Turn back to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and looking down to verse number 28, he said, well, let's start at verse number 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says, and I give them eternal life. He said, I give them eternal life. One of the blessings that I can look forward to as a disciple of Christ, having the heart of Christ, is to one day be honored by God. You know, I think it'd be wonderful, but I don't think it's going to ever happen. It would be wonderful to one day win a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm a peaceful person, but I'm not going to ever win the Nobel Peace Prize. It would be wonderful to be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, a prestigious award. But I don't think I'll ever win a Presidential Medal of Freedom. I'm not an actor, but it would be wonderful to be honored with an Academy Award, have my own statue. But I don't think I'll ever have that honor. But one of these days, when all of life is over, when all of the tears and the crying and the trials and the difficulties are over, when all of the setbacks are over, when all of the disappointments are over, and I stand before the mighty judgment seat of God, and one day God looks at me and says, Patrick, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little bit higher, and I'll make you ruler over many. That's the honor that I look forward to. And even though I won't get an Academy Award, I won't get a Medal of Freedom, I won't get the Nobel Peace Prize, that statement, that's going to be enough. Because everything else will have passed away. Everything else will be over. And I can look forward to be honored by God Himself. When I think about this further, if you look at John chapter 12, John chapter 12, and look at verse number 25 through verse number 26, Bible says, he that loveth his life, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life, what? In this world shall what? Shall keep it unto eternal, unto life eternal. And then he says in verse number 26, if any man serve me, he said, let him what? Follow me. And where I what? Where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father what? God is going to honor me. Oh, I just believe can't no man honor me like the way God can. I just don't believe any man can do what God does as it relates to honor. I'm looking forward one day to be honored by God. But when I think about God and when I think about his way of honoring me, you see, God has always, it seems, had to defend himself. See, in the same way that Jesus had to stand before those individuals and defend themselves, God, many times in our lives, has to defend himself. When I think about God, in all the things that God had accomplished and all the things that God had done, it seems that man is always doubting God. Don't you remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt? And don't you remember when they had served the Egyptians and done those things to have themselves in slavery? Don't you remember that God put the plagues? I know you're looking and say, "Brother, where have you finished already?" God, they saw him put the plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt. They saw him bring them up to the Red Sea. They saw him depart the waters. They saw him allow them to walk through on dry ground. They saw him when the Egyptians came after them, saw him close up the waters. But as soon as the waters were closed and as soon as Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, and as soon as he stayed a little bit longer than they thought he should stay, they began to say, "He didn't lead us out of Egypt. We're going to build a God that left us out of Egypt, led us out of Egypt." And God had to come back and defend himself as being the God that led them out of Egypt. Here was Jesus. All he did was go about healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see. All he did was good works. But all he could do was all the time defending himself, all the time trying to state that, "Yes, I am God. If you don't believe me, at least believe my works. They ought to send you in the direction of believing me." But in the midst of his works, in the midst of his good deeds, in the midst of his teaching, he had to constantly defend his position. And you know, before I look at the children of Israel, and before I look at the Pharisees, I need to look at myself. God, in defense of himself, you might look at your life and say, "Well, I don't do that," but many times God has to defend himself in our lives. When you think about your own life, think about everything that God has done. He got you up this morning. Everybody that's in here this morning is a testimony to the goodness of God. It's a testimony to the fact that God got you up this morning. Not only has he got you up this morning, some of you on your sick bed, he got you up off your sick bed. Some of you were jobless and he helped you to get a job. Some of you had family problems and he brought you through that challenge. Some of you had issues with other individuals and he brought you through those issues. God has done many great things. Why does God so often have to defend himself? He's more than proven himself as God, more than proven himself as worthy of our obedience, more than proving himself as someone that we should give ourselves and give our loyalty to. God, in defense of himself. There's someone here this morning. There's someone here this morning.
Amen.
And you know, there's some things that you need to be willing to do. There's some changes that you need to make in your life. There are some things that you need to get rid of, but you're defending your position. But God is defending his record. "Haven't I been good to you? Haven't I brought you from a mighty long way? Didn't I give you life this morning? How many more times do I have to defend myself as God?" There's someone here, and you're a member of the body. You know what your life is all about. And you know that there are some things that are wrong and some things that are missed and some things that you need to eliminate from your life. Don't make God defend his position. You just need to acquiesce to what God has told you to do. There's someone here this morning and you're not a Christian. And again, God is having to defend his position. You're saying to yourself, "Oh, there's nothing else I need to do. I'm fine just where I am." I'm a good person. But don't defend your position. Bring yourself under subjection to what God's word has to say. Amen. Hear the word of God.
Yes.
Believe that word.
Yes.
Repent. Say, I'm going to make a change in my life. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go down in watery grave of baptism. Come up and walk in the newness of life. Just like two souls did this morning. Don't maintain your position. Come under the position of the goodness and the love and the mercy of God. That's what God calls us to do. God bless you. God bless you. There might be others. There might be others. God has been too good to us. God is a mighty God. God is a merciful God. And when I look at all that God has done for mankind and all that God has done and all how God has worked in the lives of individuals throughout history, and I don't even have to look at history. I can just look at myself in spite of myself and know he's a good God. Do you have a need? Don't make God defend his position. Listen to the voice of God. Become a sheep and allow him to be the shepherd. If you have a need, we ask that you please come as we together stand and sing a song of encouragement.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, renew my faith, oh, restore my soul and revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Won't you stir my desire to work in your fold and lighten my heart, dear God, your still grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, restore my soul.